Thank you so much, Lord, for Pastor Luna and Teresa, Lord, and all the work that they're doing there in Camargo. Lord, bless them and bless them in the work they're doing in Rio Grande City as well. And Lord, thank you for letting us labor alongside of them. We love them and thank God for them. And Lord, thank you for the offering for the Mexico mission work today. And Lord, we just lift up Steve and Carol. Lord, be with them, comfort them. Lord God, touch her father. Help him right now, Lord. For Scott and Jenny Bates, Lord, losing his dad this week, and just be with them as well. And for Garrett, who needs continued healing for his body, Lord, the things that are going on. And for Kaylee and Tyler, Jacob, there in Peru, bringing them back safely, Lord. And I just received a report, Father, as you already know about, that three more officers were gunned down in Baton Rouge. Lord God, please, in Jesus' name, stop. Help us stop this in our nation, oh God. We love you. We praise you, Lord. Help me to teach this message faithfully and accurately in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's turn quickly this morning. We're going to be in the book of Romans again as we're studying through this great, wonderful book that God has given unto us. And this morning, this message that God has given me through his word here, listen, these verses that we're going to cover, one in particular, they have been called the most terrible passage in all of the Bible. And boy, do I agree with that. But as we look at these terrible passages in the book of Romans that are before us, we want to remind each of us right now, let's remember that the theme of the book of Romans is what? Good news, amen? It's not bad news, it's good news. You see, listen, when the good news, the power of God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and when believed in the heart, when a person confesses Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life, instantly, new creation, old things pass away, all things become new, amen? But not only that, there our God makes a judicial decision to impute to us the spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ into our account. Therefore, we have been justified by the incredible grace of our Lord. Now, it's very important this morning that we remember from last week when we talked about that man was without excuse. The reason that man is without excuse is because God, they know that there's a God, and the reason that they know there's a God, all the way from the garden to this very moment, every person that has ever been born knows in their heart that there has to be a supreme being. The Bible tells us very clearly that God has made that evident, made that plain. Romans 2:15, it says that he's literally written into our hearts and into our conscience as well. Not only that, we have the revelation, the divine revelation of God within us. We have the divine revelation of God without us, meaning creation tells us that there has to be a God. Now, every culture has some conception of a supreme being. Now, and every person looks outside himself saying there must be a God. And the reason that happens is because the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 that God has put eternity in their hearts. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. He wants us to seek the Lord. So we have that guest there right now. Thank God for it. But every person born has that as well. But this morning, as we look at some of the most awesome passages in God's word, I want to talk to you about when God gives up. When God gives up on a person. When God gives up on a society. When God gives up on a nation. What does that mean? Let's just go ahead and start in verse 18, and then we'll begin our sermon this morning. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness or wickedness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them," in other words, made evident, made plain, "for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. Because although they knew God," they knew God, they had that, they know. It says, "they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened," verse 22, "and professing to be wise," wise about God, wise about looking into the heavens and so forth, and about creation. They became, as we know that word fools comes, we get our word morons, okay? And what did they do? They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like what? Corruptible man. And then birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. What an insult to God. I mean, he's held up and said, you know what? This is my God. He's a bug or he's an insect or whatnot. Whenever man stops the worship of God, they always turn and worship self. And then there is a digression in their life. In other words, whenever they make a false god or whatnot, less than themselves. And they start worshiping, as we already know, birds and creeping things and reptiles like we learned last week. And finally, they just worship a bunch of bugs or whatever. Now, listen carefully. What happens when a nation, what happens when a people, what happens when men and women begin to worship the creature instead of the creator? One of the most important words this morning from this text. Loved one, listen to me. Verse 24, it says, God gave them up. Verse 26, God gave them up. Verse 28, God gave them over. The New Living Translation says, God abandoned them. And each of those three verses we're going to look at this morning, every time we get to that verse, and man goes down and down and down, deeper and deeper, further away from God and deeper into being a slave to sin. Now, let's begin this morning in verse 24. Therefore, in other words, because of verses 18 through 23, therefore also God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust, or literally the passionate cravings of their hearts, to do what? To dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now listen carefully. Whenever a people, whenever a nation, when they suppress the truth in wickedness, whenever they refuse to glorify God, when they refuse the revelation that God has put in their hearts, in their consciences, and in creation, whenever that occurs, God, and they turn against God. Listen, it says that God gives them up. Gives them up. What a horrible thought. I mean, a horrible thought. In the New Testament, this word is Greek word paradidimai, I believe is the way it's pronounced. It means giving over to be punished, giving over to be condemned, giving over to die. What a horrible thought there. You know, when God gives up, that means that he said, okay, you don't want me. I'm going to hand you over to whatever you want. What? That's a horrible thought. That's a horrible thing for anyone to experience, saying, I don't want God. And God says, well, go whatever you want in your life, you can have. In other words, to be abandoned by God and become a slave to sin. Now listen carefully. This is not an eternal giving up by God. God's grace is available 24/7. Amen? God loves people, but God hates sin. We've already learned all that. But this is a judicial act by God where he releases a people, a society, even a nation, loved one, to where they sin to the fullest measure. But I want you to catch something on that verse. Did you notice it says that God did not give them up in the lust of their flesh? Did you catch that? That's not what it says. But it gave them up in the lust of their what? Hearts. That whenever that occurs, that's when a person goes headlong into horrible, horrible sin. See, whenever a person becomes a slave of his own heart, oh, it's a horrible thing. Jeremiah 17:9, it tells us the heart is deceitful or treacherous above all things and desperately wicked, which means it's incurably sick. It says, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind. Why? To give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You know, it says there that God gave them over to do what? It says to dishonor or degrade, if you will, disgrace, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, speaking of sexual immorality. We know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:13 that our body is for the Lord, not for sexual immorality. But these people are being given over. So from verse 23, it takes us from spiritual enslavement, if you will, idolatry, to verse 24, which is sensual or sexual enslavement, which is your immorality. So they are abandoned to sin, whatever they want to do, becoming slaves of sin. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He says, the lost enjoy the horrible freedom they have demanded and are therefore self-enslaved. Now look at verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they did these things. They worshiped and they served the what? The creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. In other words, who is to be praised forever and ever and ever, speaking of our great God and Savior. Now listen, this on their part speaks of a willful and deliberate choice. This is what we call the first exchange, if you will, where they traded the truth of God for the lie. Not a lie, but a specific lie. Meaning here, well, let's look, to find out what that lie is, we have to look at one word in our text in verse 25. And this one word, rather, helps us discover what this lie is. You see, the word rather in Greek is para, which means, like we say paraclete, the Holy Spirit is beside us, right? So the word para means beside, alongside of us. So what does that verse tell us? It tells us that the creature, people, they would put the God, our Father, alongside of them. And they would say, no, he's not worth it. He's not anything I want. I don't prefer you. I prefer the creature. So the lie is the creature is more desirable than God, the Creator. What a horrible thing. Verse 26, and for this reason, worshiping the creature, worshiping man, women, whatever, worshiping the creature rather than the Creator, it says God, here it is again, gave them over, gave them up. Look what he gave them up to vile passions, literally degrading or repulsive passions. And look at the result. For even their women exchange the natural use of what is against nature. Now, what does that mean, against nature? It means that they are reversing God's plan for a man and a woman, which is the marriage covenant. Amen? It's been there since the garden, the oldest foundation in the history of the world. And so when we look at this here, it says, for even their women, that is not a really good translation, but I'll talk about that later. It should be even the females, okay? That's what that word is right there. But they willingly did this of their own deliberance and so forth, and they exchanged the natural use for men in marriage for the unnatural with relations with other women. Likewise, also the men, and here it's not men, it should read males, leaving the natural use of the woman, it says they burned in their lust for one another, male with male, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, females, if you'll notice, they were given over by God because they did not want God. They wanted to worship the creature and not the Creator. They were given over to vile passions. But men, it's a different word, the lust there for men. Matter of fact, this word is only found right here in the New Testament. It says they were giving over to what? That burned in their lust. That means to be inflamed with sexual lust. It literally means that they were consumed like one burning flame. They were a raging flame, if you will, full of lust. And if you read that in the Greek, where about male and female, you would find out that it's not men and women. Like there goes a woman, there goes a man. This word is so brutal in the Greek, it's terrible. The word really for male and female there is speaking literally or denoting sex with animals. This is what the scriptures are teaching here. It's wicked and horrible. Listen, look at verse 27. look what happens, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. In other words, that's where the shameful acts led to. Now listen very carefully. God loves everyone. Let me ask this side. God loves everyone. Amen. God doesn't hate man. He doesn't hate the homosexual. He doesn't hate the adulterer. God loves everyone. He hates sin because sin separates us from fellowship with God. Sin is what has damned and destroyed the world that we're living in. We weren't made to live in a world like this that's doomed and falling apart. We were made to live in the garden and have dominion. Amen? That's exactly right. Now listen, when we look at all of this and we see the horror of this, when it says that they received their due penalty, this is not saying that, well, they're homosexual or lesbian or whatever, and that because of that, that's the penalty of their sin. No, what God is saying in his word is that because they did that, they're receiving in themselves, because they start walking in those sins, homosexuality, lesbianism, that's the punishment. What happens when those things occur in people? I've counseled so many. Oh, I want everyone saved, don't you? And I look at that and I say, they've received the penalty in themselves. What happens? They become confused about their true role in their life. They become confused about their true identity. See, we're made in the image of God, male and female, amen? And they get confused. They don't know who they are anymore. But listen to me now. When the female exchanged, I don't know why they were listed first, you know, but they were. And they exchanged, they willfully and deliberately exchanged the natural for the unnatural. Now listen carefully. Lesbianism or homosexuality, loved one, is a willful and deliberate choice on the part of the individual. It is a personal decision, and it's also a learned behavior. Now, I know what the world tells me, that I'm wrong. I know that scientists may say that I'm wrong as well. They'll say, no, it's biological. The Bible says it's not biological. The Bible says it's not genetic. It doesn't have anything, walking in those sins has nothing to do with not having a father. Walking in those sins has nothing to do with having an overbearing mother. I'll tell you why a person does that. Well, first of all, they're being given over because they don't want anything to do with God. But the real reason is that everyone, all of us, we were born with a what? Sin nature. Amen? Even though we're new creations in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new, still, does the flesh try to rule? Sin is there. We have to fight against sin. Amen? Okay, now with all that being said, no man has said, well, I was born, the reason I'm gay or whatever, I was born that way. I love people. I want to help people. But the truth of the matter is they weren't born that way. No more than a person say, well, the reason that I love little children and I'm a pedophile is because I was born that way. That's the way God made me. No, God did not make you that way. You were born in sin like the rest of us. And all of us, listen, every person that's ever been born, if sin takes over, it'll take you to the places you never want to go. Okay, that's what we want to understand. No person is born, you know, the reason that I'm a mass murderer or I'm a rapist is because I was born to be that. No, you were not. I was born to be a Democrat or Republican. God, help us. No. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? God's word says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, and such were, past tense, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Listen, God frees people. He doesn't make people drunks. He sets people free who are drunks. Amen? That's what God does. That's what Jesus does, the blood of our Lord. No, listen. It says in verse 28, watch this now. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That word is gnosko, meaning full and precise knowledge. They knew who God was. But even though they didn't retain him, it says God, here it is, that third judicial act of God, the third giving over, it says God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, meaning things that are not that are not proper for a man or a woman to do. The word did not like in the Greek literally means this. It means to put to the test for approval. It says here literally that whenever you find a nation, whenever you find a people, they said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know what it means? They put God to the test, even though they knew about him, even though they had precise and accurate knowledge about God. And it says, no, we didn't approve him, and we didn't approve him to be worshiped. We want nothing to do with it. Then God says, I'm going to give you over to a debased mind, a mind that can no longer make moral judgments, right or wrong, walking in all that confusion. So where do they go through on this third judicial giving up? It means that they move from moral perversion, if you will, to mental perversion. Why? Well, they say, well, you know what? My mind and my life, I find God worthless. And God says, okay, if you don't want me, you think that I'm worthless, even though you have a full and precise knowledge about me, then I'm going to give you a mind, or let your mind become worthless, okay? I mean, just completely worthless. What is worse than a mind that is void of God, where God abandons and says, you know what, you can do whatever you want to do. Listen, a mind that is confused about right or wrong. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel. They despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. I'm talking about when God gives up. Loved one, now listen carefully. The verses that we are about to cover in the Word of God, whenever you see these manifested in a person, whenever you see them manifested in a society, whenever you see them manifested in a nation, it shows that they're turning their back on God and they're seeking independence from him. As much as I don't want to say this, I believe with all of my heart that these verses show our own country right now. They show how near collapse America really is, because we live in a nation today that we love but has lost its moral compass, has lost all sense of what is right and what is wrong in our leadership in our nation that we live in. The Bible says, look what happens now. Watch this in verse 29. And being filled with all wickedness or all unrighteousness, filled. That word is in the Greek is pleroo. It means to like take a glass of water and you fill it to the brim where it's overflowing. It means to be saturated. It's a great word because in Colossians 2:10, 9 and 10, it talks about that you are complete in him. Pleroo, complete, filled to the brim in him, meaning Jesus, who is ahead of all principality and power. That's the good part, but this is the bad part. It says they are filled, they are saturated, they are overflowing. The full measure of wickedness. These are 21 sins in front of us, nouns and adjectives here. 21 sins. They're the trinity of the sevens, if you will. When God gives up a person, when God gives up a society, when God turns over a nation, it says here they are filled to the limit and without restraint with, look at the first one, sexual immorality, wickedness. That word wickedness is the same word used in Ephesians 6:12 for Satan and his heavenly demons, if you will. It says covetousness. You know what covetousness is? That itch for more. It's that greed. Colossians 3:5 says that covetousness is idolatry. Maliciousness. That's the desire to injure someone, to hurt them. And look at this one. Full of envy, literally stuffed with envy, and then murder. We have watched in our own society here in America, week after week, funeral after funeral all over our nation. And here in our own Metroplex, we have watched five of our officers being buried. Every day there was a funeral. Every day on the news, that's all that we have seen. We're living in times where people The world is in confusion. The world is being shaken. We're living in a time when a father and a son can go to Nice, France, and sit there to watch the celebrate Bastille Day, and there all the fireworks are going off, and a man gets in a truck that ISIS has converted, and they start running over people, killing little children, killing men and women. Why? Murder. The Bible says that a murderer has no eternal life in his heart. Cain, the wicked one, he was a murderer from the beginning, just like his father, the devil, the Bible says. We are living in a land filled with murder. We're living in a nation right now that's so racially divided, and it should not be. God help us. God help this nation that we're living in. When you have a man that goes upon the freeway, like in Phoenix, the Phoenix sniper shooting people, killing people for no reason, even killed a little 12-year-old girl, just passed by and killed her. What kind of world are we living in? We're living in a world that God is giving over. We're living at a time, this is one of the worst times in history. Bill, you're depressing. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Not only that, they're filled with strife and deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers. Whisper is a secret gossiper, a secret slanderer. They're also backbiters. That's an open gossip, if you will. You know, haters of God. Haters of God. Only here in the Bible. Haters of God. In other words, where they not only demonstrate hate for God, they feel hate for God. And it says, look at this one now. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of what? Evil things, finding new ways to sin. It says they're disobedient to parents. Now, we know the Bible teaches that's one of the signs of the end times. Undiscerning, in other words, the natural man cannot discern the things of God. It says they're untrustworthy. They're not bound by promise. They're not bound by covenant. They're not bound by a handshake. They're unloving. That means they're heartless. That's talking about love for family, love for mother, love for father, love for the members of the family. They're unforgiving. They're unmerciful. Boy, I thank God that Jesus, our Lord, is loving, forgiving, and merciful. Amen. Look at verse 32 now. And knowing, again, the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things, in other words, that's their habitual, ongoing, consistent lifestyle, are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. Now listen to me. It says, look at it, who knowing the righteous judgment of God. They know they're under judgment. They're not clueless. They know that they deserve death. Even though in their consciences, in their heart, they know about God, even though creation is speaking to them, listen, what do? They assist others in their eternal destruction by applauding their sin. Think about that. They approve that word to applaud, okay? Applauding their sin, approving their sin. In other words, they encourage other people to continue in sin. Whenever you find a nation that everything that is on TV, everything that's on the internet, and everything that's on cable or wherever it comes from, whenever you find a nation that's doing these things, they are at the very pinnacle of perversion. Oh, listen, those who set up a favorable atmosphere where sin is encouraged and fed and spawned, when you find that atmosphere, when you think of the pornography industry in America and you see the vile filth that's being poured out into our nation, even with our little ones today. Listen, did you know the word approve there? To approve those who practice, if you approve of that, God's word is saying, if you approve of those who practice such things, it's worse than the actual deed itself. I'm going to tell you something. This loved one is a picture of our times and a picture of our nation. Welcome to America. Our nation And so many denominations and even pastors today, they have literally exalted themselves above the very word of God by disagreeing with what God says in his word. I'm going to say some things about our president who I pray for. I have nothing against, but I want to just show you some things that have happened in our nation under his administration. Did you know that he has proven to be, well, the most pro-LGBT president in our history? He was also the very first president to endorse same-sex marriage. I'm talking about when God gives up, whenever God says, no, I'm through, you go on. Listen, I looked at 8 long years. 8 to me has always been in biblical numerology the number of a new beginning. I pray in Jesus' name that America has a new beginning. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I don't know if it's going to happen with the couple that's there, but I'm going to tell you something. 8 years ago, do you remember the slogan that was given before the election? His slogan was change we can believe in. Change we can believe in. And what a change the last 8 years. Never in the history of this world, never in the history of our nation have we seen boom, 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 falling in darkness into darkness into darkness into deeper darkness in our nation. I'm talking about when God gives over a man, a woman, a country and says, I'm giving you up. Listen, I studied this out and I went, oh God. Did you know the White House hosted the first ever lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender pride reception? Just under the administration, the last 8 years, listen to the changes that's occurred. The oldest foundational rock of our society, marriage. If the foundations of the righteous be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, we can pray. The Supreme Court's in the last 8 years. The Supreme Court's ruling, 5-4 ruling, made same-sex marriage the law of the land and declared the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional. Listen to some of the military ends, don't ask, don't tell, the last 8 years. The Pentagon makes June Gay Pride Month for all the homosexuals, lesbians serving in the military. And now the latest, if you've heard, transgenders can now serve in the military. June 24th, don't let me back up, I missed this one. The presidential proclamation. Now, you can go to the White House online and you can read all the president's proclamations. Here's one of them. June 2016, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Pride Month. June 24th, 2016. June 24th, last month. President Obama designated Stonewall National Monument America's first LGBT national park site. You know the Stonewall Inn, if you know the history of that, the tavern there in 1969 when the gay people, they revolted and had the riots and so forth because they wanted equal justice. And I'm not against people. I'm no more against someone. If that man's an adulterer, I love you. I just want to help you. If you're a stinking liar, I want to help you too. Amen. Sin is sin. This is not, I'm not bashing people. I love people. I'm talking about the condition of our world that we're living in, the condition of our nation. Oh, God, I look at all these things that are happening. And our government, all of a sudden, they stick their nose in and they start legislating morality. They're giving sin rights. Loved one, that's against the word of God. And I look at all these things. Listen to this one. This will blow you away. July 14th, last Thursday, 2016. You ready for this one? It's going to come to Texas within 2 years. Watch this. California approves the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender history lessons for classrooms. On Thursday, listen carefully, the California State Board of Education voted unanimously to interweave the history of the LGBT movement into the state's public school curriculum. In the second grade, California students will learn about families with 2 moms and 2 dads. Then 2 years later, while studying how immigrants have shaped the Golden State, meaning California, they will hear how New York native Harvey Milk became a pioneer gay politician in San Francisco. What is one of the reasons they're doing this? Let me let one of the board members speak right here. Well, he said it allows all students to think critically. I'm a second grader and I'm going to think critically and expansively. When's recess? and how the past relates to the present and the future roles that they can play in an inclusive and respectable society. Loved one, listen to me. To make sin lawful doesn't add dignity to it. It doesn't. Do you understand? It doesn't change one thing. I don't care what America does. Oh, listen, when you study out Leviticus chapter 18, all the horrible sexual sins that God said, you stay away from this, stay away from that. You know, don't do what the Canaanites and all the other nations are doing. One in particular, Leviticus 18:22 says this, you shall not lie or have sexual relations with a male as with a woman. God says it's an abomination. It's a detestable thing to God. Now listen to me. America and so many pastors today, and some I even know, listen, they no longer believe Leviticus 18:22. They say, Bill, that's just Old Testament stuff. They say it's irrelevant. They say that's a prejudiced mindset. They say, Bill, you need diversity training or something. No, listen to me. I'm going to ask you a question. In Leviticus 18, you find many, many things that God says, do not do this. Let me give you a few of them. For example, is it wrong to have sexual relationships with your mother, with your father, with your sister, with your brother? Is that sin? Amen? Okay, well, if those things in Leviticus 18, if they are still, you know, if that's sin, I mean, has God changed his mind? Okay, are you sure? Has God changed his mind about lying or fornication or adultery or stealing? No, he hasn't changed his mind. Listen, he hasn't changed his mind about Leviticus 18:22. He hasn't done that. He hasn't changed his mind at all. Listen, homosexuality and lesbianism and any other sin, but since we're in context, that's what we're speaking about today, it's not only a sin. God says it's a detestable thing. It's an abomination. No matter how many laws are passed in our nation. Do you understand? It doesn't matter how many gay churches open up or how many pastors from denominational movements say, it's okay for us to have same-sex marriage and so forth. Loved one, listen to me. It's not. It's wrong. The church needs leaders, not a bunch of sissies. Listen to me now. From a biblical standpoint, and even from a secular standpoint, you go back, study history. Whenever you see the condition of a society like we are in right now, it marks the end of that society. Go study it out. I mean, it's proven. Listen, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, remember in Genesis chapter, 19, wherever it was. Remember God went in to sent the angels to get Lot, remember, and his wife and his family out of town. And there the angels walk in and the men of the city, it says young and old. It says, what did they want? They wanted to have relations with the angels. They were trying to break down the door to get in. So what did the angels do? They blinded them. But the scripture says, even though they were blinded, they became weary still trying to find the door. That's what it means by the burning lust, that rage that we were talking about earlier in a person. Now listen to me. I've said this before, but I believe it with all my heart. Before God destroys or allows a nation to destroy itself, he blinds the people. And we are blind today of the things that are occurring in our society. I'm not going to do it. Loved one, listen. America, I'm not talking about the rest of the world. I'm talking about where we live. America is confused. Whenever you can put one of the greatest athletes in our generation, Bruce Jenner, on the cover of Vanity Fair, whatever it was, and where it says, my name is Caitlin. Now listen, I'm not mocking him. My heart breaks for him. I can't imagine what it must feel like in your mind to think that you're trapped, you're a man or a woman trapped in a box. I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm not cutting him down. I hurt. I weep for that. It's horrible. Or did I look at the article? I just happened to look and read this article just yesterday, about just 2 days ago, what happened in July 2016. Jaden Smith, you know, the son of Will Smith, the actor. Jaden Smith, he's an actor too. He's a teenager, I think. Anyway, here's what he said on what he hopes to achieve, because he no longer wears Levi's or whatever guys wear, you know what I mean? He wears skirts, okay? Are you with me? It says, here's what he hopes to achieve. In 5 years, when a boy goes to school wearing a skirt, he won't get beat up. My kids and the next generations of kids will think certain things are normal. Listen, our nation already thinks certain things are normal. We're in trouble. You know, guys shouldn't put on girls' dresses. I'm sorry. Why? The Bible says don't do that. Listen, Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor a man put on a woman's garment. All who do so are an abomination to the Lord God. Listen, that scripture's not saying, okay, if women don't wear pants, don't you dare put on any jeans. Especially if you belong to Calvary Chapel. No, that's not what that's saying. It's saying, don't you dress like a woman to deceive someone else. Don't you pretend to be what you're not. And is that happening in our society? Yes, it's happening right now. And listen, I go, oh God. Now I know that the radio listeners, and I know that you who are listening live right now, and maybe some of you, I know I'm going to get horrible emails. I know people are going to say, you know, Bill, you know, you're going to accuse me of being narrow-minded. They're going to accuse me of being prejudiced. They're going to unloving and a hate monger. I'm not any of those things. But I am for the word of God, because here's what God says in Isaiah 5:20. He said, woe to those, and woe is a bad word, okay? Woe to those who attempt to destroy God's standard of right and wrong. Listen carefully. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, meaning when they think they are wiser than the God who created it all. I want you to know, I agree with our president. We need change. We need change in our nation right now. And here's the change we need. It says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. It raises a nation to honor. Amen. Righteousness. That means being in right living with Almighty God. It says, but oh, sin is a reproach to any nation, to any people. Listen, America, our government and our schools, they don't believe that righteousness exalts a nation anymore. They don't believe that. And I don't even know if the church today believes that. We are living in a nation today. They're no longer seeking the truth. But I'll tell you what this nation is seeking, only relief. I want to be happy. I want everything going my way. I want to spend it on self and so forth. Oh God, I look and I say, oh, God help us. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible tells us, the psalmist said in Psalm 9:17, the wicked will be turned into hell. Listen very carefully. And all the nations, that nations is Gentiles, by the way, all the nations, here it is, that forget God. Forget God. Listen to me. When you start passing laws against the holy word of God, you're forgetting God. When you live in a nation that worships the creature instead of the creator, you're living in a nation that has forgotten God. Whenever you live in a nation where they say, don't you pray at football games, don't you pray at school, don't you even mention the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, you're living in a nation that has forgotten God. Whenever you can kill babies, we've killed millions of children, abortion. You're living in a nation that has forgotten God. Whenever you live in a nation that legalizes sin, whenever you live in a nation that applauds sin, whenever you light up the White House with the rainbow colors as happened in that day, God help us. You're saying that I am applauding and I am approving and I want people to walk in that kind of sin. That is where we are right now. And God has given this nation over Oh, Bill, you are, no, listen to me, I'm not through yet. The Bible says in Psalm 81:8, it says, hear my people, I will admonish you, O Israel, and I'm saying, O church, or O America. He says, listen to me, there'll be no foreign gods among you. They'll know or worship any foreign god. In other words, you're not going to worship the creature. You're going to worship the creator. Listen carefully. I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt, meaning I brought you out of slavery. I brought you out of bondage. That's what Jesus has done for us. Amen? He says, listen to me. Open your mouth wide. That means to pray. Open your mouth wide, God says, and I'll fill it. I'll fill it right now if you'll get down and pray and seek me and find me. He says, he goes on, he says, oh, listen, but my people, and now I'm going to say God's church, they would not heed my voice. They would have none of me. Now listen carefully. What God did to his own people, loved one, the children of Israel, the apple of his eye, God says, so I gave them over. Same word. I let them go. I let them go their own way. I gave them over, it says, to their own stubborn heart. I gave them over to walk in their own counsel instead of my counsel. And God cries out, he says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that they would walk in my ways. Listen to what he says. I would soon subdue their enemies, and we have enemies that are surrounded, even in our nation as I speak. He says, I'll subdue their enemies. I'll turn my hand against your adversaries and the haters of the Lord. Boy, I'll get rid of them too. And he would have, it says, fed them. God would have fed them with the finest wheat. No more famine. No more hunger. The finest wheat, the best. He says, oh, I'd have given them honey, the sweet things from God, and the rock, the hard things would be passing. And he says, I would have satisfied them. We live in a nation today. I know I've lived long enough to see it. It is no longer in God we trust. We can have it written wherever we want it in our nation. It doesn't mean a thing to our nation anymore. I want you to listen to me now. The American church, including Calvary Chapel, the American church is asleep. We're asleep. Now listen to me. When you are asleep, Valerie, you don't know you're asleep until somebody wakes you up. And then you go, oh, I was asleep. That's where we are. We're dozing. We're slumbering right this minute. The church in America, we're totally asleep. Listen, how do you know that, Bill? Well, because an awakened church changes things. A church that is awake to the things of God, the power of God is flowing and moving. And not only that, whenever a church is awakened to God, what happens? They turn their world, their city, they turn it upside down and revival comes. That's what we need in this nation right now. If we don't have revival, we're going to slide into the deepest darkness spiritually. Oh, maybe not materially. Oh, no, we're going to prosper. Oh, the stock market will probably hit 19,000 and all the rest of it. But we're going to slip into a spiritual darkness that is going to be more than we can bear. I have never in my life seen such transitional stages in 8 years. Boom, 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 boom. Darkness, deeper darkness, deeper darkness. I've never seen it. That's where we are. That's where we are right now. And Jesus Christ is our only hope for this nation. There is not any other hope. Now listen to me. God has not given up. God doesn't give up on people. He gives them over to what they want. God hasn't given up on America. America has given up on God. They don't want anything to do with God. They want to silence us. You go back. I went back and I looked at the series that I did last year called Illusion or Reality. I went, oh God, because I forget just like you do. I went back and looked. I said, Lord, how did I get that? He said, I gave it to you. I said, that's incredible. Listen, everything that I said has happened already. Like I told you this week, persecution, Christians are the number one persecuted people in the world. What did I tell you last year? I said, prepare for persecution. Oh, loved one, listen, I'm telling you that Jesus is our only hope. God has not given up America. God, America has given up on God. And God says, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Half of your nation is burning up in fires. The other half is flooded and tornadoes hitting every, more so than ever in history. Go ahead. You've now, for the first time, you're going to have people, what, from ISIS coming, trying to kill you. Yeah. You know, it's already happened. Look at the things that are going on. Look at Florida, the nightclub and all the rest, San Diego, or San Bernardino, rather. I say, God, we better wake up. Oh, listen, we better wake up. I read a story the other day about a mountain climber. And he wanted to climb this high, high mountain. And for some reason, he started at night there with the ropes and, you know, how you knock it into the pins into the rocks or whatever you do. And he was by himself. And as he got way up there, all of a sudden, a darkness that covered all the stars, the moon, everything was pitch black. He had no bearing, had no come, he didn't know. And all of a sudden, he slipped. He fell. And as he was falling and falling and falling down the side of that mountain, his life was passing before him. And then all of a sudden, when the rope that was around him that he had tied in, it caught him and he suspended. It just cinched him up. And there he was hanging in the darkness, nothing shined. He had lost all hope. He didn't know what was going on or where he was. And as he was hanging there, that rope and the stillness, he cried out and he says, oh, help me, God. Help me, God. And then all of a sudden, a deep voice within that darkness came and said, what do you want me to do? And he said, save me, God. And God said, do you really believe that I can save you? He says, yes, I believe. He says, then take the knife out of your pocket and cut the rope. There he was, suspended in the darkness. God says, you cut the rope. Just cut the rope. You know, the next day, the rescue team came to the side of the mountain, and there he was. He had a knife in one hand, hand upon the rope, frozen to death, hanging 10 feet from the ground. This nation is hanging by a thread. And unless we cut away the power of the devil, unless we invite Almighty God to come back into the church, and wake us up, then we're going to slide into the deepest darkness spiritually that this nation has ever seen. Father, I thank you and beg you to send revival. Let it begin right here. Oh God, may this church wake up and may we really be praying for this nation again. May we be crying out, oh God, asking you to rend the heavens and to come down again and shake the nations and shake the church, oh God. We must have revival. And every true pastor of God in America is crying out the same thing. We must have revival. We're hanging by a thread, Lord. And as we're sitting here and our eyes are closed and no one looking around, you know what? Maybe you're hanging by a thread too. You're just sitting there hanging in the darkness. And God says, why don't you cut the rope, man? Why don't you cut the rope and give me your life and I'll save you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if he's not the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to do something right this minute. Not come down to the front, but just right now. If you don't know Christ, listen to me. He loves you. He died for you. You may be here right now, and maybe you're in the sin of homosexuality or lesbianism or adultery, whatever it might be. He says, oh, I love you. I'll forgive you and cleanse you. I'll change you. But see, you have to want him. He wants you. See, you already know in your heart that he's real. So if that's you, no one looking around, on between you and God. If you don't know the Lord and you say, Bill, I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want out of my bondage. Why don't you lift your hand right up and put it right back down, and I'll pray for you if that's you. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. Lift it high and put it right back down. Then for that one who did that, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, you pray with me. Help me. The one who lifted their hand, you pray now. Say, Father, I just heard the truth. I know you're real. I want you to save me. So right now, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Jesus as Lord and believe in my heart, you would save me. Save me now. Jesus, be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. God is good. Amen. Loved one, listen, don't take what I said today lightly. It's not just another sermon. It's the Word of God. Pray. Join with me and pray and pray. Open our mouth. God says, open your mouth wide. He said, I'll fill it. And God's not a liar. No, he'll fill it. I love you with all my heart. You who lifted your hand, listen, there'll be people down here at the front when we close out with a song. They have a booklet called Welcome to the Family of God. They want to give it to you. If you prayed that prayer, you're listening live and you prayed that prayer, email me right now with your address to info@loveneverfails.com. I'll mail you that book first thing in the morning. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing to the Lord.